Good to have you with us, Stephen, in Jesus' name. Amen. My role as a pastor of this congregation is not to present to you that I'm any more anointed than you are, because I'm not. I got the same Holy Ghost you got. We got everything that pertains to life and godliness in us. But my heartbeat and direction, guided by the Holy Ghost, is to take the law or the Old Testament that was laid out for us to learn, come to Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and learn how he transitioned believers into where we are today, the new covenant. Say new covenant. New covenant. We are to live in the new covenant, learn from the old, watch how Jesus transitioned, so we're still learning, get to the new, and we're still learning because we're still looking to do what? Grow up and become that mighty man and mighty woman of God that he's created us to be. So as we look at that, I was blessed this day. I had people come to the altar and tell me that they were starting Bible studies in their home. They were starting to take their word out. I'm not going to every week challenge you to see if you've brought your Bibles and note paper and pencil. But we know that the more you write things down, the more you rehearse things that were revelation to you at the time, the less likely you are to forget them. And remember, nuggets that you get from a church service or the radio or whatever is not for any one person, it's for the body of Christ. So as I've shared in the past, my wife and I, students of the Word, we are still students of the Word. Whether she's leading worship or today I happen to be the one to bring this Word, the heartbeat is to get you stronger because you got the same tools in you that everybody else has that's become Christian, or we call born again. So we look at that. Last week, just to bring you up, sharing with you how important it is that when we're looking at the parables in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a parable is something that got the attention of the natural man. It was a purpose that was laid out in Scripture. Jesus took the believers of the Old Covenant through this alert to say, hey, this is a parable. You'll be able to understand that. But he wanted them to then focus on drawing closer to him so that they could have the wisdom to understand what he was trying to get us to understand, which was the spiritual dimension in where we're supposed to be living. So the Bible said in the book that we call the wise book of the Old Covenant, Proverbs, it says, with wisdom get understanding. And when you get wisdom, you will get understanding. So you'll not just get head knowledge, but it'll get to the understanding place that's in our heart. What got changed in you was not your head when you got saved. What got changed in you, you became a new creature in Christ. That old spirit became new. And this then has to be renewed to the truth. And who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. So we learn, if you lack wisdom, we ask God and he gives it freely. He's not a respecter of persons. He says, well, I'm going to give it to Pastor Weldon, but you're going to really struggle and not understand it. No, that was religion that years ago taught clergy and laity. Clergy, the brilliant people. Laity, the idiots. We've come to understand that's a fallacy. That's not true. We are all created equal. Our constitution that we stand on, all men and women were created equal, was based out of the Word of God. Because God creates us all equal with the same capacity to become new creatures, and then we get everything that pertains to life and godliness, but he doesn't force us to grow up. But I'm here to encourage you that that's exactly what's taking place. So, true wisdom comes from the Word of God. And that's why I challenge you to carry your Bibles or your phone Bibles. But I like the Bible that you can write in and you can highlight. And some will say, well, we can do that on our phones. Fine, modern technology. Real life changing freedom comes only from Jesus. He is, like you told me, the living Word. And it comes spending time with him. That's why we are to continuously have an attitude of prayer. Pray always, on every occasion. The enemy, which is our flesh and our adversary, the devil, is looking to steal, kill, and destroy, and to divide, and to shame you, and to condemn you. But Jesus came to give us Zoe life. Zoe life as God intended it to be. So we can't make somebody grab the Zoe life, but we can be an encouragement to you to grab a hold of what's freely given, and that freedom only comes from Jesus, and that's why we have to learn to hang out with him, and he'll hang with us wherever we're at. Amen. So, you've all turned to John. I want you to look with me, if you would, to John chapter 8. Two verses very familiar with you. I want to lay a foundation. Today I'm talking about head knowing, but getting to heart that's truly freeing. The head operates on how you feel, how you think. The heart operates on what's real. And what's real is what the law couldn't do, but Jesus did. And Jesus is the only one that can truly free us from ourselves. And so when I look at this, we're transitioning now, and this is what Jesus said. Starting with verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Now, remember, we're to glean out of this transition what's important. The importance is the word of God. Jesus is telling those that believe. In other words, they're surrounding, they're close to him. They're wanting to know what it's all about. He says, if you that want to know this will continue to stay in my word, you will be a disciple. Now, the root word from disciple is where we get the same word discipline. Now, don't tell me you don't have disciplines, because we get the same amount when we get saved. It comes with the fruit of the Holy Ghost. It's called self-control. And what we have is we become a controlled mechanism to learn about this Jesus and then come to know him. And this is what it says. As a disciple, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Our freedom comes from truth. Truth is Jesus in the flesh. He is the living truth. If we try to get free with any other means, the state of our country now is trying to release freedom by how they feel. That will not free anybody, but it will bring confusion. Enemy comes to steal, kill, confuse, divide, and then conquer. But the Lord came to free us and hopefully keep us free. Amen?
Amen?
So, again, transitional scriptures. I'm back at Proverbs chapter 4 says this about the word. Because the emphasis today, if you want to truly be free, if you truly want the truth, you've got to be students of the word. That's why we talked about 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself that you're serious with God. And he'll give you the wisdom to get the knowledge so you'll understand how to operate here on earth. And this is what the book of wisdom, which we call Proverbs, says. Verse 20. My son, and that would include daughters, give attention to my words. Everybody say words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not depart. Let them depart from your eyes, which means they're looking at them. Keep them in the midst of your where?
Heart.
The Lord wants his word to get from our head to our heart. For they are life to those that can find the word. And health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, the strength of your heart, the truth of your heart, you protect. You protect by trusting the Lord. And it says, For out of this heart springs the issues of life. Now, again, reading about wisdom, hang on to the word, learn the God of the word. We go to the transition. Jesus is saying, if you stay in this word, you'll be my disciple and you'll be made free. We have to learn that in the society in which we live, only those that are entrusting in the truth are truly going to be free.
That's right.
Especially in the church. We should be the freest of free, but we're challenging people on their own personal walk to learn how to operate in this freedom. This freedom that's truly free, that only can be provided by Jesus. It doesn't matter if you got a doctor's degree or you dropped out in junior high from school. It's not an educational freedom. It's a Jesus freedom. But we, at any level, can learn how Jesus wants us to operate. So, let me lay this out to you. I was just sitting meditating on what we're dealing with. Facts always start in our head. Facts don't always lead you to the truth. Fact this morning is a couple of our parishioners are dealing with attacks, we say, of the enemy. Truth is, the Lord sent his word and healed them. You can stand on the facts or stand on the truth. I'm trying to encourage you to be students of the truth because the truth is what makes you free. There's no sting to the death of a saint anyway. The enemy thinks he's got us, but to be absent from this body, we're with the Lord. It's graduation day. He does not win. But we are focusing on the kingdom that he gave to us as believers, and that is, the truth is, he sent his word and he healed us. And whatever the manifestations, we're not looking at anybody except where we're at today. Everybody say today. Because today's where you're at, and we're growing to be stronger. Facts based on the word of God will go from our head to our heart, and it will become truth. So facts aren't bad in themselves, but if facts don't lead you to truth, you don't stand on those facts. Facts are based on feeling. Let me give you an illustration right now. There's a thing going on in the court system that some of you have studied where this 7-year-old boy had feminine qualities, and so the mom wants to make him a girl. Dad is fighting it, and right now the courts are upholding, saying no. That would change him forever. He's a boy. I'm here to tell you that God does not make accidents. It does not matter how somebody's feeling. It has everything to do with the chromosomes and the genes that they get create, if you want the science behind it, create who we are. You can factually be a little boy and have like to play with dolls, and that doesn't make you a girl. The world out there is going to tell you, yes, it does. We're telling you it doesn't. God does not make accidents. And a little girl that likes to play with trucks doesn't make that little girl a boy. God created that person. Our role is to do our part to get people free from themselves, because up here, it's always going to be fighting you. And the attacks that's coming to the church isn't from the heart. It's from the social media that's only up in the head. And 95% of the media are not even saved. And so for let them to creep into the church and attack the church, and churches are under attack. Because you are mean if you project anything other than facts of feelings. That's child abuse. We love people, but we don't love the spirit behind that that's attacking the body of Christ and also attacking the church structure. Jesus is the truth. And as students of the truth, I wasn't going to divert. Let me just give you this. It is a fact that in this region, we have thousands of children will celebrate Halloween. The truth is, Halloween is not a God week. But the truth also is, that we are not to hide ourselves from the world, but we are the light that lighteth everyone that comes into it. The fact is, I know where it stemmed from. I know the facts of how the Druids and all that. But the truth is, I am the light that's the reason why God has me to touch those little kids. When we first got saved and understood this, we hid in the dark and we were afraid of this holiday. And then we stood up to the plate and said, the truth is, greater is he that's in me. So we buy the biggest candy bars and we look to share the love of Jesus on whoever's coming to our door with a big smile and a God bless you as they receive these. And now people are coming back. Oh, I love coming to your house. They may think it's for the candy bars. It's the presence of the Lord. Because we pray over our neighborhoods. We pray over the kids. Ask me, believers, who's going to influence a little kid caught up and doesn't know any better? Is it to be the world or is it to be the church? It's to be us to make a difference. So if somebody takes a stand and they're not going to, I'm not going to criticize them. I'm just telling you, we are the light that God uses to touch lives that don't understand stuff like that. The world will influence them. I'm saying we, church, are the most powerful force that God created. He made heaven because he wanted us there. Amen. Thank you, PK. And he also wants those little kids that get caught up in it. I used to think, man, here with greater is he that's in me, and we would hide in the dark, turn all our lights off, and thinking like, what are we afraid of? That we're going to shed a little love on some kids that are going to be out there anyway? You know what we do as a church? We pray for all those children that are trick-or-treating. And God bless all the churches that have harvest things where they'll bring the kids in. That's great, but I'm telling you, those are the kids that aren't going to come to a harvest thing. The ones that are going to come to our doors are the ones that don't know Jesus for the most part. Some of them will, I'm not saying. And we are the light. We are the power within. We are the presence that they need to feel. It's the goodness of God that makes somebody want to serve him. Not making them out to be condemned and make them out to be idiots. For whatever, that's not in the notes either, Pastor. Go with me and let me share how Jesus laid it out. We're looking at parable versus truth. We're back, or you haven't left John 8. Let me give you another illustration of the goodness of our God. Starting at verse 3 of chapter 8 of John. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought Jesus a woman that was caught in adultery. That's a fact. She was caught screwing around with a married man, or I don't think she was married because it goes on to say she was involved in a lot of things like that. And when they had set her in the midst of Jesus, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. It was a fact. She was caught. There's probably a few others that were caught too. But this one was caught. Now Moses in the law commanded that as such should be stopped or stoned. But what do you say, Jesus? Now watch. This is significant. Never seen this before. I'm meditating on these parables. This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But listen, Jesus stooped down, wrote in the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. Listen, they're looking for him to say something, but his purpose is to draw them near her. So, when they continued asking him, ask and continue to ask, and you shall receive. He is looking not just to give them the facts that she was caught in the act. He was looking to give them the liberated truth of freedom. Right. And he raised up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, all you that drew in, as you're asking and asking, let him throw a stone at her first. He listened, you know, it's better to hear the whole matter and then act than just hear something and react. That's where we get in trouble. We react and still listen to the whole matter. Where are they coming from? They don't even know the Lord. Why am I going to try and straighten them out? I'm going to draw them in by loving them like Jesus is. They're just pursuing. They're looking. All of a sudden, they're asking. And he says, you all without sin cast the first stone. He's not done yet. And again, then he again stooped down and began to write again. Those who heard it were convicted. Look at me. Did he condemn those? They were convicted because they wanted truth. They kept asking and asking and getting closer and closer to Jesus. He gave them the truth. Truth does not condemn. Truth convicts. I choose not to do things not because I'm condemned. I'm choosing not to do them because I'm convicted that that's not good for me, my temple, or whatever. And I very seldom want to share my own personal conviction because I want to be the best example I can be, but I don't want to put my walk on somebody else. And that should be you. Then those who heard it went out one by one, beginning with the oldest. Now remember, back then, age carried a lot of seniority, wisdom. The oldest one, right on down, they kept living, dropping their stone. Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman, and he said to her, here we go. What's his purpose? To condemn? No. He brings conviction, but he comes to free. He says, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. That was the freeing element, but he didn't stop there. Go and sin no more. We're not to be shy of the word, but it's to be preceded by the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. Our mission is to build a bridge so they want what we got. And no one's going to receive what we got until they know that we care about them and have a love for them. And when they do, then maybe, what is it about you? Well, this is what you need to be freed, and then don't keep doing what you're doing. This is truth versus facts. If we fast forward 2,000 years to now, it's very easy for people to religiously see other people's faults. I'm not telling you that we do have a role. We weigh a tree by its fruit. But we need to, if you look at how Jesus had us handle it, he always says, examine yourself. What is it about myself do I need to clean up? These guys that drew close to Jesus got convicted and dropped the rocks. I bet you they were never the same. I'll bet you they started looking at their own laundry and they figured out, wow, who am I to cast? I got all this nonsense. Some of them might even been guilty of being with this woman. Don't you love the way Jesus frees us? Why would we want to condemn? We want to encourage others. You that have ears to hear, what is Jesus telling us? Do you see how we can look at it two ways? He's not looking at us to condemn us. He may convict us, but conviction is a personal thought. Huh, I love my Lord so much, I don't want this in my life anymore. I don't choose to not do things because it's going to keep me out of heaven. I do it because I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. They're supposed to, when they look at us, see Jesus. Not to bring condemnation, but to bring, wow, I want to be like that person. Even Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Jesus. We should be the best imitators of Jesus so that when people want to imitate us, they're imitating Jesus. And that's our bridge to growing people up and loving people to the cross. Look with me at Romans chapter 3. This is how the New Testament in which we live now, this is how it's laid out. Beginning at verse 3, it says this. Excuse me. Beginning at verse 21. This is to Christians now. This is the Christian Romans that Paul is addressing. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the word of God does not go against the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Who's our faith in? Jesus Christ. To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Remember, knowing the truth does what to us?
Free.
Makes us free. Being justified freely by His grace. Unmerited favors, how we all get justified. It's not what we've done, it's what He did. And that's the same for all of us. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus only. Our righteousness was freely given to us when we made Jesus Christ our Lord. But it was freely given to all believers. What they do with it determines whether or not they're going to have heaven on earth or not. It's not going to determine whether they go to heaven. If they made Jesus Christ and they become righteous, they're going to heaven. Just why should you have to go being miserable? Why can't we go to heaven? Okay, Lord, I've done my love. I'm ready to go. That's how God meant it. That's why Paul throughout the epistles tried to encourage people. Heaven's not a fearful thing. It's a graduation thing. It's an exciting thing. Might not be exciting for your kids who want to grow up, get married, and have all the responsibility at work and all the things that we have already encountered and find out. It's great, but it's not as great as heaven's going to be. But down here is where we make a difference. Down here in our community, when people come to the door, who normally don't come to the door, they're going to see two beautiful Christians and a couple of German shepherds that we'll keep in the back so it doesn't freak anybody out. Isn't that a delightful thought? I don't know how you came to know the Lord. Maybe you came because you were just perfectly in a great family and everything was great, but maybe you took a look at yourself and realized you need a Savior. There's nothing I can do to make me good enough, but I know if I give my life to the Lord, He'll make me good enough. Amen. And it was His goodness, not His severity, not He's going to punish me. It was His goodness that made us want to change and be all we can be. So all have. So before we're going to correct people, realize this. The facts and the feelings may be there, but the truth in the heart is what's going to free people. Do you know that not everybody truly wants to be free?
Yeah.
Do you know you can't truly free anybody that doesn't want to truly be freed?
Right.
And you don't know who they are, and that's why Jesus knelt down and He didn't say anything, because He wanted to see which ones really want to know what I'm thinking. Which one of today's shield of faith really want to know what Jesus is thinking in this area? So He may not say anything, but He's watching to see, are we studying? Are we looking at? Are we having a little prayer time? Lord, I don't understand this. I was very troubled this week naturally because I couldn't get a heart of where I wanted to go. And I'm saying, Holy Ghost, I don't know. We don't have a book of sermons, but we do have a heart of what do you want for Shield of Faith. And I'm seeking God. My wife, I'm saying, she's saying, well, just relax. I'm saying, yeah, I know. And Pastor Mike, and we had all kinds of busy stuff come up at church. So each day I thought this is going to be the day to just be still and hear from God. And it happens taking a shower. No, in a sauna, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. When you know the truth makes you free.
Amen.
Wow. That's good.
Amen.
Okay. And I want to brace our Facebook group. We as a church come under all kinds of attacks. We are called all kinds of haters falsely. When I was in public school, there was a move that came to get God out of every avenue that possibly you could. But you can't take people out. You can take their minds and their thinking out, but if they truly have a heart, you can't take them out. And this is what I was told. There are no absolutes. I disagree. The truth says they're absolutely, let God be true and every man a liar. We must be all-inclusive lifestyles. Falsity. We are to love all people, but we do not negate the truth.
Amen.
Truth says, I brought Eve to Adam, and marriage consists of one man, one woman. We do not hate people that are caught up in whatever they're caught up. We hate the spirit that has played them in facts and in feelings to think. Anybody that's been truly freed from this other lifestyle that's not this way have been very powerfully used to help free others. That's why we need the body of Christ, because whatever you came out of is where you're going to be the most effective. But it doesn't negate, we are not haters of people. We are haters of injustice and the spirit that influences people. And I know in the political arena now, it's very easy to get upset at different factions. But I'm telling you, it's not the people. It's the spirit that it's the progressive spirit that's trying to change our children and tell them what's good is bad and what's bad is good. And we have to get them back to the truth, because the truth is what keeps our kids free.
Amen.
James Dobson came on and says, it's child abuse to tell little kids. There's a bill out west, I don't even want to mention the state, that's out there that says we're not going to identify our kids at what sex they are until they're 12 and let them decide. That's abuse to our children. We are to train up our children in the way they should go. And if they have tendencies that don't look like they're regular, we encourage them, we love them, and we continuously focus on the great truth giver, Jesus.
Amen.
And when they come to Jesus, which means we have support groups just like we do. Mothers, how many people at one time killed babies and never even thought about it? I remember way back, abortion, there'd be less people around, man. Then you get to thinking what the scripture and the truth. Oh my gosh, he knew us even before he formed us in our mother's womb. And all of a sudden the truth lit you up. Do you know that people that have come to the truth in abortion clinics are the most powerful at setting people free? Because they were indoctrinated on how they felt. They got the truth, and now they're being used powerfully, not to beat up the women that abort. And if you've aborted a child, God's forgiven you, but we need to heal the wounds and realize society out there is not God-oriented when 95% of the press don't even believe in a God. How can they believe in the absolute? The absolutely wrong, because there is a word of God, and he changes not. And we have to be students so that when we get into an issue that comes up, we understand what we're dealing with. Our kids are getting caught up in confusion and so forth because we think, oh, we just are accepting. We're not accepting other than to accept to love our kids and love our grandkids, but does not refute the truth that God created us to be mighty men and women of God, and he never changed his mind in the process, and he did not make any mistakes.
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to finish with this scripture to just show you how ludicrous this is all and where we've fallen as a nation. When you track the history of nations, every kingdom that was successful, The downfall came when they became carnal and lustful, and they adapted all kinds of procedures that were not truth. And it destroyed them internally before they were destroyed externally. And some of us that have been in the history, we understand. And it's the same attack that America's under. They're trying to destroy us internally. And if they can get to us internally, external is no big deal. But we be students of God. And when we know the truth will make us free. Verse 22 is where we become. Professing to be wise, they become fools. And they change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. Now listen, this is New Covenant, because there was a whole lot of messed up happening in Rome. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who blessed forever. For this reason, God that gave them up to vile passions, for their women exchanged their natural use to burn for one another. Men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men. Now listen, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. This was as clear that Paul was laying out truth as possible to keep the church free from the influence the society says, but we're changing. It's a different thing out there. The word of God changes not. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowing, God gave them over to debased minds. Verse 29, they were filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boisterous, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy. This isn't just about lifestyle. This is about the whole way of life. Who knowing, look, church, knowing the righteous judgment of God, this was addressed to Christians. They know what's right and wrong. Those who practice such things deserve death. Not only do they do the same, but they're approving those that practice them. This was not trying to correct unbelievers. This was trying to bring, don't let the world influence you. You can't all of a sudden begin doing what they're doing. Well, we're all doing it. That in itself tells you something's not right. No, we're not all doing it. Do people have tendencies? Yes, and those tendencies need to be subjected to the truth, because it's the truth, which is Jesus, that makes people free. And the world needs to hear it in love, not condemnation. That adulterer, well, the fact she was adulterous and she was having sexual relationships out of marriage. Now listen to me, church. I have never yet got up here and point out people that might be living together outside the marriage covenant. You know why? Because the truth is what makes people free. People come to that to understand that, and they want to do differently, not because they're feeling condemned, but because the goodness of God makes them want to change. It's not now opens everything and anything. We pray for the innocence of our kids, that they don't have a sexual relationship until they're married, one man, one woman, and they learn together. And it's an exciting thing to happen. And it's an educational thing to happen. And what moms and dads may not be able to convey, a husband and wife can. But it's not going to negate that we have to do everything we can to train up our children in the way that they should go. And if there's tendencies, we don't stop loving them, we don't stop trying to encourage them, and we do everything we can to direct them towards the one that will keep them free. Amen. You know what we used to do when we had a Christian academy? We would pray, God, give them all their personal encounters with you. This has to be a real thing. Yep. Now listen, Do I get into your dirty laundry and see who's been squirreling around or who's been cussing on the job and who's been doing drinking and smoking to the extreme? No. But we're going to try and tell you what works. You want to be the light? People are going to be attracted to the light, not to the nonsense. And if we're to be the light that he lighteth and touch the lives of others, then I love God enough that I want to be the best example I can be so that these children be. PK and I don't have any biological kids, but we got a lot of spiritual kids. Some of them are bigger than others. And you know why? And I'm going to do everything I can to live for the Lord. Am I going to fall? You betcha. Will God forgive me? Already has. But I want to be used to liberate, not put people in bondage. I'm telling for us to stay silent at times is okay. But when it's time for us to speak like Jesus, where he's going to be elevated, it's time to speak. It's time to act as if you really truly love your God and you want others to have the same God you have. That's the difference, church. Why you come here? Because you're not just going to settle in. And let me close with this thought. Pastor Mike knows this. We're losing many pastors that are stepping out of the pulpits because in their denominational structure, they're beginning to go by feelings. They're saying, well, yeah, they were created this way, so we got to start licensing and ordaining them, and it's convicting. These pastors that I know are loving men of God and women, and they can't stand against that which is not right. So they're not pointing out the issues to personal people. But that's the attack we're under. A lot of good people. We got to pray those good people get planted someplace. In this particular area, there's churches closing all around. Every time I think, oh, I know that. No, that's not the one I'm talking about. There's another one. There's something that's happening right now in the Catholic Church. They've run out of priests, so now the Pope has got something to look at to see whether or not they're going to be able to marry. Whether or not they are, I'm telling you, attack, judgment begins first where? In the house of the Lord. He's cleaning us up, church, not to be still, but to know who we are and get the truth in us so we can be kingdom-minded and help set people free. And if somebody has left the church, we can't be happy about that unless we get them connected somewhere so they keep growing and grow up. Because to isolate yourself, you become a tool. That's exactly how prey try to attack. They look for the weak. The ones that are isolated get you alone, and then packs, they get you. We should be concerned, church, and that's why we stand strong, and we encourage time and time again, don't disconnect. Stay planted in the house of the Lord so you'll flourish in the courts of your God, and you'll learn truths that will make you free and keep you free. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. And I pray right now, if anybody's tuned in and been condemned, there's absolutely no condemnation. And if there's conviction, I pray that you go to the Lord with that and ask him what you would do. And I pray right now that what you've begun in each and every one of our lives will continue. And who you made free, Lord, will stay free. I pray, Father God, for that freeing element of the Holy Ghost that lives in us to encourage us, strengthen us, and propel us forward. And I give you all the praise and all the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Amen. Now greet and love on one another.